Blog Talk Radio.
Each day do you wake up and get out of bed? You got all these feelings rushing round in your head. You got that bout with doubt and neighbors singing the blues. Pick up the paper and it's all bad news. But you know in the end, happiness is your best friend. You can be what you wanna be. Oh, dare to step high and live like you're free. I said color, color your life happy. Color, every day you can choose. Color, color your life happy. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
The difference between try and triumph is a little funky. We all have ups and downs, but you can still be happy. If you're gonna step, you might as well step high.
If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
ColorYourLifeHappy.com. Get your happy on.
Hello and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, June 22nd. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. Joining us in a moment for today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, Making the Second Half of Life the Best Half, will be our guest, Dr. Jennifer Manlow, founder of Life Design Unlimited and a life direction counselor and a certified publishing coach. But first, I want to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us. I encourage you to participate by asking questions or adding comments. If you're on the phone lines, you only need to press the number 1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment. If you're on the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments. I'll be able to see them, and then I can read them on the air. Let me remind you, too, that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is one of the most common things that happens. So if your call is suddenly lost, just dial in again at 347-539-5700. And don't worry about missing anything because all the shows are recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. I'm an author, coach, inspirational speaker, and consultant. I'm also a mom of 4 and grandma of 3. That's where I really got a lot of training. And I recently retired from 40 years of teaching junior high through university levels, the last 20 of which I spent teaching critical thinking. If you haven't already done so, I want to invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you can now invest in my book, Color Your Life Happy, for a special pre-release price. It is full of stories, tips, activities. They will all speak to your inner desire to get the life you want and deserve. On the radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from various fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change and adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, and all of those things which contribute to our lasting happiness. Let's get on to the amazing show that I have for you today. Hi, Jennifer. Hello, Jennifer, you there? Hi, Jennifer. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Before I begin my interview with you, I want to tell the listeners a bit about you. Okay?
Okay.
And then we'll get started with our interview. Dr. Jennifer Manlow is that gal who loves to see you break out of the box you're in. She's the founder of Life Design Unlimited. She's also a life direction counselor and a certified publishing coach with over 20 years of experience helping people authorize their lives and or their first book. She says her joy is helping you find yours. You can reach Jennifer at authorizeyou, the letter U, .com. For life direction, Menlo doesn't offer typical skills inventories, traditional career questionnaires, or those personality assessments. Rather, she offers intuitive, imaginative, and superbly generative advice to turn your favorite activities into sites for income. Ooh, that sounds great. Dr. Menlo yeah. is the eyes and ears for people who are having a difficult time hearing and seeing who they are and who they can be in their second half of life. Menlo believes we don't find just right jobs out there. We create right work by being true to ourselves and honest with what we offer others. Some say, do what you love, the money will follow. Jennifer adds a few things. Share what you love to do for others, the money will follow. So I'm so happy to welcome you, Jennifer, today. First, should I call you Dr. Menlo or Dr. Jennifer or Jennifer?
Just call me Jennifer.
All right. That sounds easy, since that's what I've been calling you all along, huh? Now, this title is interesting. Is this the title of your upcoming book?
Yes, my upcoming book is Breaking Open, Making the Second Half of Your Life the Best Half.
Oh, okay, Breaking Open. So what do you mean by making the best half of your life the second half?
Basically, this idea that, you know, the first half of life, many of us were trying to get approval. We were eager to please others. We were often externally driven by the cues of our culture, the, you know, urgency to fit into some ideal that might have been held for us. Uh-oh. Let me call back.
Okay.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I got an interruption there. But anyway, so it's the idea of we step up in the second half after 40, not being able to kid ourselves anymore. Our soul says, please listen to me, honor what is true, and move forward. Authorize your joy.
I was going to ask you where was the halfway point, so you just touched on it, age 40. Why do you suppose age 40 constitutes the halfway point, sort of?
Well, more of us, just according to statistics, are living at least 40 more years. We often live about 6 years more than men,
mm-hmm.
and I believe this is in part because we have a wider range of support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are embedded in relationships and find our worth often in the relationships we create and contribute to, including
mm-hmm.
mates, children, you know, loved ones, family, best friends, etc.
Mm-hmm. And we, you mean women?
Yes, we are more likely to need community and reach out without any penalty, whereas men have a harder time in our culture being able to articulate needs, and
mm-hmm.
they often keep their closest friend their mate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Jennifer, you've been a professor of psychology of world religions and a counselor to people seeking life direction. What have you learned from bringing these issues together?
Well, what I've learned is that there's tremendous wisdom in ancient traditions and even non-sacred texts, but also oral traditions that are passed on through stories and folk practices and even the idea of magic and
mm-hmm.
In different traditions. So I find that I'm most interested in traditions that teach us how to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I've borrowed from them in my three most recent books
mm-hmm.
to inspire and get us to tap into our own wisdom through these stories and models and invitations to, you know, be inspired and hear the best of these ancient traditions.
Can you think of an ancient tradition that is very relevant for us today? Because I'm interested in how that works, too. I incorporated
yeah.
some of those ideas in my book. But can you think of one that we consider ancient and yet it's very relevant to us today?
Sure. Many in China have influenced me in terms of body, mind, spirit as one. Mm-hmm. The word qin, you know, shin in Japanese, chin in Chinese,
mm-hmm.
Is a word for heart, mind. There's no separation between heart and mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Taoist images and symbols, there's this notion of light and dark interdependent. This idea that there is nothing that can't be included in our experience, and when we include everything, emotion, body wisdom, you know, intellectual wisdom, we can live from a balance or a harmony that is much more supportive than just mastering intellect, you know.
Okay.
Which would be more, you know, more of a Greek philosophy, Western philosophy, and religion look much more to spirit and intellect over the body, as if the body were pulling us downward.
Okay.
Plato would be the best example of that.
Now, that brings me to another related question. As an ordained minister, or reverend doctor, do you bring a religious bent to your work with people who are seeking to discover what's next in the second half of their life?
You know, not directly. I often let them take the lead there.
Okay.
And don't push any kind of religious agenda. So anyone that works with me would get more of a secular support, and then if they deepen in terms of their own soulful listening, maybe a part of their history might emerge that
mm-hmm.
had a religious training,
mm-hmm.
and we look to together what helped there and what hindered their empowerment,
mm-hmm.
and I let them decide that, not me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably a very smart thing to do, because then they're going in the direction that speaks to them,
mm-hmm.
rather than one that you are only guessing.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
How do you understand the notion of vocation or our calling?
I understand this as something that is multiple. So it's sometimes in the old days we used to believe, well, first of all, that the notion of calling was something that came from outside of ourselves, like
mm-hmm.
a God calling you to, let's say, God calling Moses to lead the Hebrew people,
mm-hmm.
or God calling Peter to be the rock, right, of the church that would
right,
be
right.
built on his faith.
Mm-hmm.
God calling Jonah to lead the crowd to Nineveh, you know, and this idea is often external, as I say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the notion I hear is the inner calling, and again, the Latin vocare means to call,
mm-hmm.
but I hear it as an inner calling that emerges when we listen. We quiet our minds, we listen to mind-body wisdom, and it often sneaks up in multiple ways, so it's not just one great diamond we need to pull out from in us
mm-hmm.
that says, you know, be a counselor or be a firefighter,
mm-hmm.
but more of a, you know, you love to express yourself in writing, or you love to help others, or you love to inspire through humor. And, you know, that you can explore any of these avenues in our, you know, past 40. I think we get a little more clarity from within, and we're less about doing the right thing according to the rules of our family or community, you know, even our loved one. We might be more apt to listen to our heart mind, you know, rather than try to please.
Hmm.
That's what I found anyway.
Yeah, now that you're mentioning that inner calling that we all have access to, why do you suppose we get so off base with that? Is it because the outer calling is stronger for us, or just seems more acceptable? You know, in other words, little children often have a notion of what they want to do, or
right.
some notion. And as time goes on, and if their parents accept this as okay, sometimes that notion gets nurtured. Other times,
right.
if their parents don't approve of it, then they stuff it down and
right.
and try to fit into another mold.
Right.
So
that's exactly why I believe we are more apt to follow the rules of our culture, of our family, of the traditions of origin. And as we are teenagers, even past age 9, research shows that girls lose their spunk. They lose their feistiness and their
mm-hmm.
self-determination to be natural leaders and questioners. Their power starts going inward and they start doubting. According to Carol Gilligan's research, the psychologist at Harvard,
mm-hmm.
She's found that girls start to question and start to look outside of themselves to fit in and start looking at the social value of belonging over and against feeling their worth and independent voice. They start to look at their bodies and do they please men, you know, boys, and do girls envy them, and you know that their power starts becoming externally driven.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a tragedy, I think, that could be interrupted
sure.
when it's identified as a problem, you know?
Right, right.
And listening to your joy, coloring yourself happy as your power could be an interruption to this, yeah?
Yeah, that's what as you were speaking, I was thinking that you could get ostracized for not questioning your body and what others think of you when you're a teenager. It could work the other way.
Right.
And therefore, you have to be pretty strong and self-confident to
sure.
to not fall victim to this whole loss of power and that turning inward that happens, or pushing things inward and trying to please the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I can remember times when you know people would ask, "What's wrong with you? Why don't you care about this and that like other girls?" So it can be a problem for others when they don't see you following what they think is the pattern.
Exactly. Audre Lorde, one of my favorite poets. Do you know her?
No.
African-American woman who, you know, was raised in the 40s, 50s and felt very outside as she stayed with her own voice
mm-hmm.
and was condemned again, for being one of the only African Americans in a white school,
mm-hmm.
And still hung in there with her voice and tolerating being ostracized,
mm-hmm.
maybe making one or two friends that were also brave,
mm-hmm.
and I think that also helps young women to
mm-hmm.
have a community that says be yourself and let's play sports or let's make up our own rules and you know. You know, let's play. I know with me, I was often interested in magic and faith and spirituality, and I was raised Roman Catholic and thought, I want to be a priest. But as you know, Catholic women can't be priests. So
exactly.
I just found a little community of my own and said, let's play priest. And, you know, still meditated and prayed and felt in touch with grace and, you know, didn't allow the external community to shut me down. And I feel very lucky in that regard.
Yeah, that's amazing because so many may have felt what you felt but not express it openly for fear of being punished or criticized, ostracized. That's wonderful and amazing that you did that and that you found some kindred souls.
Absolutely.
To support you. I remember recently something related to what we're talking about. I saw my granddaughter's prom picture, and there were 6 girls in the prom picture, the group picture they take. And I said to her, where are your escorts? Where are the boys? And she said, oh, we went by ourselves. We decided we weren't going to be bothered with boys because they had so many issues. They couldn't afford this and they can't afford that. We decided we didn't need boys to escort us to the prom. So these six girls dressed up, rented a limo, and went to the prom together.
Wonderful.
And I thought, whoa. So I think that kind of thing is happening more and more. Not that they don't like boys and would not have liked to have had them as escorts, but they found it such a problem, especially if you have, let's say, one girl or two who don't have significant others at that moment. Yeah. And are hard-pressed to try to find dates. It just becomes a big issue when you're in that age group. So the girls eliminated that and went as a group themselves, and they had a great time.
Cool. Good for them. I often went with a girlfriend, too, and, again, that was sort of looked down on as, like, what's wrong with her?
Exactly.
But I love it. Congratulations to those girls.
Well, to see it for the prom is amazing. And I know other more and more girls are doing this now. But I just remember, you know, in my day and age, it was just unheard of. If you didn't have a date and you couldn't manage a date, you didn't go to the prom, I suppose. So
yeah.
I'm just very proud of some of the modern girls who are not being held back by these things. Do you think that all this soulful stuff that's being talked about and that you're talking about is relevant in times like now of layoffs and economic crises, and people are just desperate who've lost their jobs or they've watched their companies go overseas to hire people, you know, more cheaply? Is all the stuff about the soul relevant now?
That's a great question. I do believe if we stay in the esoteric, you know, that which is sort of spiritual and lofty, mm-hmm. sometimes that can shut us down and keep us in our rooms reading and praying, you know. I call it the prayer closet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to stay in our prayer closets.
Mm-hmm.
We do want to take ourselves forward and in relationship. I do believe that's where we can really feel our power. And so my feeling is, you know, we have to get outside of ourselves, outside of our homes, prayer closets, whatever, and experiment. A lot of my clients, I encourage, if there is no job in what they feel like they're finding out they might like to do, that I say volunteer for a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. see if you can be an intern with an idea that in 1 month that you might be employed there. You know, you can ask for that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people find out what they like by experimenting, and they find out what they don't like. And
mm-hmm.
that, you know, let's say they love animals, they want to be a vet technician or assistant. And in working in a, you know, an animal clinic, they realize, oh my God, that's way too busy or sad or unmanageable. So until we experiment, we can't really be, you know, sure that's where we want to go, even look for jobs there. So I often encourage volunteering at first. I also encourage that they find maybe even a temp job. If you sign up for temp agencies, you can start making $12 an hour or $17, depending. And this is a way to just support yourself while you investigate something that's a better fit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm always very practical, as well as it's not separate from being soulfully listening.
Mm-hmm.
But I do give them assignments about come up with 10 potential bits of work or jobs you'd love and just guess. I say you don't have to know. The knowing piece comes through experimentation.
Right.
And I say sometimes, who do you admire, you know? When you were little, what did you fantasize you'd be? And some people just don't remember, and that's
mm-hmm.
okay. I often say, okay, well, who would you fantasize being now? Like I thought, oh, maybe a Simpsons writer. You know, I love the Simpsons. Or, ooh, I maybe want to be a yoga teacher. I love yoga. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that. Even people who've lost their jobs sometimes think, I want to be with people in a way that's supportive. Or I've always, you know, admired men or women who work with the poor or things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So in part, we have to be willing to experiment. Or we don't get information. So I say let's do some imagining and then let's put it in small actions. That's where we get clarity.
I think people forget, or maybe never even thought about it, that when it comes to hard times and good times, we're going to have those throughout history. Probably at least every 100 years, we've had a depression or a recession or whatever you want to call it. And
absolutely,
just like the ebb and tide, ebb and flow of the tide, it comes back, it goes away, it comes back. So these things are going to happen, and we have to work at having our reactions to these that don't devastate us. Because no matter what society we live in, no matter how advanced we are technologically, we're going to have down times. And some people, unfortunately, don't leave a situation that they didn't like until they get fired.
You're right.
Or until their job is phased out or whatever, and only then do they have the courage to try something new. They always wanted to leave, and for some people, they say getting fired was the best thing that ever happened to them.
Absolutely.
Because they gave themselves permission to go out and try new things. And before then, they were just too afraid of the loss of income. So
right.
Now that that's no longer an issue, they go out and find all kinds of wonderful things. But I think your idea of experimenting is excellent, because if you're not on a job where you have a 9-to-5 commitment, you have a chance to experiment, even with times of day. I mean, you may want to work at night, or you may want to be home-based, or whatever you've always thought that you wanted. And experimenting is the only way to find out if you like it.
Right. And even there are grants, too, you know, for single moms or women of color, or, you know, this idea of there is money out there. I just have to be patient. I have to go to the library and ask for some support for finding these options. And there is some digging in and homework, I say.
That
we have to do. So this idea of it coming to us, you know, through the law of attraction, I say, you know, that's a piece of the work, but it's not
certainly
the footwork.
Yeah, you have to be out there to draw it to you also. You mentioned about research. I want to encourage our listeners who are in this situation, especially regarding job layoffs, who are wanting to get another job or go back to school, to seek information at their small business resource centers. Every city has one. And also at their local community colleges, because I just finished visiting with a friend in Tacoma last week, and her college has money to help people get into new careers. And there's money coming down already for careers, especially things that pertain to the green environment. But there are other things, too. And sometimes these programs have to search far and wide to find participants. So that means people aren't doing their due diligence about what's in their community. So starting right in your own community at the small business centers and the community colleges, especially the technical schools, but all of them, is an excellent place to start looking, because they have resources, or they can point you to resources. So I urge listeners to do that.
And
now,
even that YWCA, too. YMCA.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's sources out there, but you have to get out there and start asking and knocking on doors. And people are so willing to help you or to direct you in the right area if you just get out there and start asking.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about your books. I know that you're the author of over 7 books. Which one of your books do you find most helpful to use with your coaching clients?
I use the book that is called Polishing the Mirror, and it promises vocational clarity in 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it has 90 days of exercises that are in some ways provocations to write.
Okay.
And I often use a spiritual or ancient wisdom or philosopher, poet, to instigate a good question for them.
Mm-hmm.
To,
mm-hmm.
I encourage them, too, to have 10 minutes of quiet a day. And it could be walking their dog. It could be having a cup of tea. It could be some form of yoga or meditation or anything that helps their mind quiet down.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a time to plan when we get mm-hmm. quiet. It's a time to silence the static, you know, like on a radio, that static can sometimes be our nervous thoughts.
Right.
And what that's Zen Buddhists it. Call monkey mind.
That is, I think that's one of the toughest things for us to accomplish is being quiet.
I agree. Especially we who live in our intellect and who read, or are always listening to the news. I mean, a lot of us are just overstimulated in this culture. You know, we're technologically, connecting rather than connecting to our inner voice.
Mm-hmm. The research that I've been doing regarding happiness, the concept of being quiet or meditating is the one thing that emerges out of all the research that is the one thing that's constant that they found is critical to being happy is learning to be quiet in some way. Now, different people, like you mentioned, find it different ways, walking or just sitting still. You don't have to literally meditate, but those who do meditate seem to experience a far greater degree of fulfillment. So it's
absolutely.
An extremely important thing. Now, I don't think we're taught enough about being quiet in our highly stimulated world.
I agree.
What else is in your polishing the mirror? Now I'm interested in your other exercises. What else?
Well, yeah, well, people who work, anyone that signs up to work with me, we have a commitment to 8 weeks of, it's sort of, you know, because of being a professor of philosophy, psychology, gender studies, religion, I've often approached learning through assignments.
Mm-hmm,
so
sure.
There are investigatory assignments, too, to find someone I admire and interview her or him,
mm-hmm.
To do some online research and find out, even with one word, you know, or you know, how do introverts break out of the box, you know, or how do people who love events find work, you know, or, you know, even how do idealists find income? You can do that kind of research online. So I have them also have some, homework or fun assignments. Sometimes I even call it play work or home, you know, or study play or, you know, finding a way to enter into it that's fun. I'm more likely to do homework if it sounds fun. Sometimes
sure.
I even have them, you know, go to my site for astrology or Enneagram or, you know, Myers-Briggs, the Jungian quiz. Those are all free to anyone of your listeners.
Okay.
To get more information.
That's on your Authorize You site?
Yes, yes. Okay. Authorize You with the capital U .com.
All right. Would they go there also if they're interested in becoming one of your clients?
They would.
Oh, okay, okay.
And
because,
even if they want to authorize themselves by becoming authors,
okay.
they'll find a link to help them access that as well.
Okay. But it can also be life coaching where they want to discover their true passion and pull out of the box that they've been in. So it doesn't necessarily have to be for writing a book, but that's one of the options, correct?
Right. Sometimes that's a form of expression that they are drawn towards, but not everyone is.
Right.
I'm most delighted to help them find their creative voice in whatever form that takes. So the life coaching is really how I work.
Okay.
Now, even if I were to help them have a project that is a book, I would still do the life clarity.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I believe bringing who you are to what you do, whatever that is the most satisfying in the second half of life.
Okay. I was about to go to that question. I think we sort of answered it anyway, about offering your life direction along with book coaching, how do the two relate? And I think you just mentioned that even if someone wants book coaching, you're going to help them with life clarity as well.
Absolutely. And they find that their writing starts really taking off when they listen to their heart's desire. And when they use my book, Polishing the Mirror, they find their voice, and they want to share it. So it's really satisfying. I love this work. And sometimes don't even call it work.
Would people be able to buy your book, Polishing the Mirror, who aren't your clients, or is this part
Absolutely.
Of the coaching package?
They were to go to my website, they could download it today, instantly.
Okay.
That's what I recommend the most, because there's
okay.
the most free stuff on there if they go to my website.
Okay. So they can go to authorizedyouwiththecapitalu.com and download Polishing the Mirror free.
Yeah.
Oh,
not
okay.
No. Other things for free if they download my book. Yeah.
Let's clarify that. There are other things there that are free, but if they wanted to buy the book Polishing the Mirror?
Yes.
If they're available also?
That's correct.
Okay.
90 days to vocational clarity.
90 days to vocational clarity. All right, because I'm imagining some people, even though they're not asking, are wondering, how do I get that book? Now,
and there's other books, too, there that could help them, even if they have, you know, a book, or even if they know how to get quiet. There's some books there that help them with integrating emotions that are hard to feel. There's books on there in how to use social media. A lot of us would love to get online and use social media to get to know people or to promote our business or even to ask for jobs. And there's all kinds of techniques that I have through my other book called Getting Into Print.
Okay. Speaking of social media, for the listeners who aren't quite sure what that means, could you briefly tell us what social media is? And
yes,
what it refers to, which things it refers to?
Absolutely. Social media is, sometimes they call it Web.2.0.
Right.
And this idea of getting into connecting with others. Always it's a vehicle for connecting with others.
Okay.
And it's online. So social media is, it basically stands for this idea that I want to connect with others, whether it's for business or dating or friendships or job finding. But I connect there when I create a page or a site for people to get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a one-page web page
mm-hmm.
that it helps people identify you and be able to look you up based on your interests.
Mm-hmm.
You can invite friends by emailing them and say, come to my site, share my site with others, you know, this kind of thing. Facebook is the number one site that people over 40 use to get to connect with old friends or meet new friends. This idea of using the electronic media sites, there's all kinds. Of course, my book, Getting Into Print, has almost everything you could possibly imagine. So I strongly recommend that. Some people use social media for advertising, again, as I say, marketing their business or searching for work or searching for experts
mm-hmm.
to guide them by following them on Twitter. Even if you were to type in, you know, twitter.com and join that for free,
mm-hmm.
you would create a profile, just a little bit of information about your likes and your why you're there and what you're hoping for. This could be a really great way to let people find you, follow your interests,
mm-hmm.
and reconnect with old friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or, again, like I said, market your business. This
yeah,
is
more
just
and
a
more.
Way. Yeah, this is a way to just share yourself with the world. I always say, remember when I said breaking out of the box you're in?
Yes, yes.
It's mainly the idea of creating connection. Moving out, as I say, if you're spiritual, moving out of your prayer closet and making more connections. You know, connecting, you can publish online too. A lot of people use blogs. I know you have a wonderful blog.
Thank you.
That connects people to your offerings and supports them in finding tools for happiness. And
mm-hmm.
it's a way to move from just publishing to monologues to dialogues.
Right.
So it's not just me. It's not just me preaching out there or me publishing my articles, which I do a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
It's me sending out thoughts, and maybe some, one of my blogs is on book reviews, and saying, what do you think of this book, or what do you think of the ideas within this book?
Mm-hmm.
And then people who read have a chance to comment. All they have to do is sign in and say what they feel. And
yeah.
a lot of times we can do this in a paragraph.
That's what's so wonderful about modern media is the fact that it is interactive. And no longer are we just absorbing what someone else is saying. We have an opportunity to interact. And most bloggers will then respond to your comment. And you create, as you said, a dialogue. And
right.
many people get to know other bloggers and other even other commenters from this participation in whatever. And almost any interest area you can name has a blog, at least one, if not many. So there's something for everyone, and it's such a wonderful way to get yourself out there without having to physically even leave home or to stay in touch as you leave home. When I was on vacation last week, I was online checking email, checking in at various places. So I was still in touch even though I was away from home.
And, you know, I can upload photos. I can post, I'm at this coffee shop, come join me.
Mm-hmm.
It's very in the present, whereas traditional media, you know, would be broadcast media, any kind of mass media, newspapers, television, film, et cetera. That's called traditional media, and social media is much more interactive, like you said.
Yeah, it's great.
Some people do video uploads, too, where they put it on their blog and say, here's who I am, here's what I care about, what do you care about,
mm-hmm.
and then people can post and interact. So it's a lovely way, even, I think, for the shy person to come into the public domain.
That's true.
And
you
for the extrovert, she or he gets lots of interaction.
You mentioned earlier about the importance of getting life clarity in order to write a book or follow your vocation. What part of does becoming an author of your own life have to do with becoming an author of a book?
Well, I find, as I say, when I do life coaching, getting clarity on who you are, bringing who you are to what you share with the world, that a lot of people like to put that in writing. And
mm-hmm.
because I have homework assignments that are writing,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes drawing or painting or making two-dimensional art, even decoupage or whatnot, I find that people want to share their writing and like online publishing, which is so easy,
mm-hmm.
and you know, even creating, as I say, the blog, or sometimes even using a blog, pieces of their blog in the idea of creating a three-dimensional book, an e-book. In the book becomes a platform for their sharing who they are, but it also becomes a platform for their business. It becomes a vehicle to say, here's what I do, and here's what we can use client to interact in what I could offer you.
Hmm.
Sometimes it's also a chance to send it to a speaker bureau and say, I can speak on this book.
Mm-hmm.
People who write books are more likely to be hired to speak, and there's
sure.
lots more money in speaking publicly than in just selling your book.
Yes.
So
now,
it becomes a lead, you know, lead generating tool is what I like to call it.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking, as you were talking about people who are listening but perhaps feel stuck because they imagine this whole second half thing as being pretty tough, or they're having trouble uncovering who they want to be when they grow up.
Yeah.
How do you work with these people?
I love to build relationships with them and co-create assignments. And a lot of what I do is, I call it the third way, where it's not making pros and cons of who I should be, but more, let me invent, let me, like a child, draw what I might be, and even use social media platforms to invent. I always point people to biznik.com, biznik.com, and we together invent maybe a career or a job they want, or they, let's say one woman said, I want to be a person who throws book events for my friends, because I haven't yet written a book, but I know three friends that have, and I want to throw parties for book authors. So we created Event Planner for Authors, and we posted her picture. We described the ideal job there. We said what's her ideal client. We said a little blurb that is, you know, promoted her. We invented this together, and all of a sudden, in writing, we get to see who she might be. And I love doing this with people because it gets them to use their imagination and stay in the possible, rather in the literal and, oh, my gosh, and, you know, what if someone emails me and wants to hire me and I'm not ready and I'm not an expert? I say, you don't have to. You can say, I'm just inventing right now, but I will get back to you. Save your email when I'm stepping up to this. So it's really a way to play together, and I encourage that third way of inventing, playing.
I love that. I love that
Isn't
idea.
That neat?
Jennifer. Yeah. The saddest thing about the whole idea of seeking something new is we're our worst enemies, because we tend to throw up the roadblocks, as you just mentioned. You know, what if this and what if that, instead of sticking with just the, I'm inventing right now and I don't need to have it all figured out.
That's and for me, yeah, for me, Flora, the idea of being held, you know, with a coach, held accountable, you know, have my hand held while I risk this, you know, holding them with a container of faith and possibility and what they might create in the world. I always say you can borrow my courage if you don't have it yet.
That's a good idea because that's exactly what many people need to do.
And I've been so helped by being coached myself, and that's part of why I've gone into this work, is
so
I love launching others, you know.
What's been your client's biggest challenge as authors of their second half? What has been the biggest problem they've faced?
Well, number one would be self-doubt, shame about failing, or even being mocked a little bit by friends and family. Ironically, the biggest naysayers can be those closest to us.
Right.
And isolation, you know, without some kind of coach or support, even braver friends, let's say, the naysayers can be dream killers. And they're often afraid for us. They love us. They mean well. But they don't want us to make a fool of ourselves. And and unfortunately, if they're living too small of a life, they will be threatened by our bigger imagination.
Sure.
So that can be the hardest challenge, is to keep your center when others are doubting. And that's why I say hold on to someone who believes in you, and she will be your tether to what's possible.
So I was going to ask you next how you help them deal with obstacles, but it sounds like that's part of what you recommend, is holding on. And you, as their coach, you are also, like you say, letting them borrow your courage.
Absolutely.
If they need to. Any other things that you do to help them with their obstacles, these obstacles?
I often encourage them to join some kind of support group that's free. I mean, as I say, at the Y, WCA, MCA for men, they have support groups for inventing, finding right work, or coming to your own empowerment, or even Al-Anon for people that might have had, you know, a really tough experience, or are partnered with someone who's not very nice, or, you know, the Al-Anon is a free group 12-step based, and alanon.org is on their website to find out where the closest meeting is, mm-hmm. often held in basements of churches or synagogues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that and have used it for me when I'm in self-doubt. It's a beautiful place to focus on what's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to have that support group. Have, you know, if you don't have an individual or a set of individuals, to have a group, because it's so easy for us to slip into self-doubt. I know it is for me. Even when you have the confidence normally, that self-doubt comes in, it creeps in. And we have to work daily at keeping ourselves centered and focused on what
believe,
we're here for.
I do believe, Flora, that isolation turns these little voices into big monsters.
Oh, okay.
So if we can break out of isolation, we can break out of that mean neighborhood in our head.
I like the mean neighborhood.
Yes.
So isolation turns small voices into big monsters. I like that too.
Yeah, you know the trolls under the bridge?
Yes.
They often tell you not to keep walking.
Of course.
To let your fear overwhelm you. Stay where you are. Stay small.
That's right. Stay small. Mm-hmm. How can people who are interested in your support find you and your books again? I know we've said it before, but it bears repeating. Could you tell people again how they can
sure.
get to you with your books or with your coaching or both?
Right. I think the best way is to go to my website, AuthorizeU.com with a capital U, and that how you spell that is AUTHORIZE capital U.com, and that's the number one way to find out what I might offer and how to reach me.
Okay.
The other is to just call me at 206-617-8832. That's 617-8832, area code 206. And I love to offer sample sessions for people
okay.
that want to just feel it out, you know.
That's
but
what I was going to ask you next. So mm-hmm. if people are interested in the coaching but they're a little timid about whether it's right for them, you can offer them a sample coaching session?
Exactly, at no cost to them.
Okay. So they would call your number to get an appointment and then arrange to have this coaching session.
Exactly.
Oh, that sounds great. I'm going to repeat your number for
okay.
those people who were looking for a pencil while you were talking.
I gotcha.
Area code 206-617-8832. Repeat, 206-617-8832. And that's Dr. Jennifer Manlow with the E at the end of the Manlow.
That's right. Yes.
We are nearing the end of the show today, and I want to urge all of you listeners who have been enlightened, encouraged, informed, empowered by today's episode to share what you've learned with your family, friends, colleagues. Remember, the recording of this episode will be here on my radio site at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, or you can return at any time to hear it. When you come back, you just look under On Demand Episodes, and you'll see the link there. You can either listen to it on the site. It's probably better to go ahead and download it so that you can save it and listen to it whenever you want. You can even put it on a CD and play it in your car, all
nice.
Kinds of ways. I want to thank you, Jennifer, for being my guest today. And I want to ask at this point, do you have any closing words for the listeners?
Well, I first want to say what a blessing you are in the world.
Thank you.
Want to thank you for inviting me. And I want to encourage people to get in, you know, get the help you offer as well through your wonderful book.
Thank you.
Color Your Life Happy. I also want to say to people how much I've been helped by being in relationship to someone who can see what's possible when I can't. So
okay.
I encourage you, if it were working alone, you'd be where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to see some change, please
give me a call or get online, and I will be delighted to work with you. So, and I know you would too, Flora.
I certainly would, and I want to say ditto to what you've just said, because I've certainly been helped by working with you, Jennifer, during this most of this year. And
wonderful.
I was delighted to meet with you in person last week at an institute we both attended. It was fantastic.
Yes.
And I came back with new energy and new ideas, and it's really exciting to be around other people. There's no comparison to the feeling of being around other people who are aspiring and who are saying you can do it, because they too are pursuing things that are perhaps impossible to outsiders and naysayers. But it's just wonderful to be in that community of people, and that's what you were talking about, the importance of having, getting out of that isolation.
Right on.
Yeah, I want to invite listeners to join me again next Monday, June 29th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for another great interview. Also, I want to remind you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and order the book at a special pre-release price before it rolls off the presses. I am your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show, and also the blog, coloryourlifehappy.com/blog, all of which are designed to help you uncover the inner joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm going to look forward to seeing you next week, and in the meantime, please have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.
Color your life happy.
Color.
Every day you can choose. If you choose happy, there's no way you can lose.
Color your life happy.
Color your life.